Okay, welcome to Coffee with Kyle. This is our podcast discussing issues in business and economics. I'm Kyle Murray, Dean of the Lazarita School of Business and Economics at Laurier University. Today, my guest is Jen Gruber. Jen has had a very busy year. In addition to her role as CFO at Communitech, she's also served as the interim CEO. And prior to her work at Communitech, Jen spent years in the Canadian Armed Forces, was also almost a decade at Deloitte as an advisor, and has volunteered for a number of organizations, including Send Them Off Smiling, a charitable organization that provides for children in need, and on the audit committee of the Waterloo Catholic School Board. Welcome, Jen. Did I get that bio about right?
Yeah, that I think that hits the tops of the waves, Kyle. So thank you for that kind introduction.
Good. Well, thank you for joining us. It's great to have you on the podcast. I think we'll cover a few different things: entrepreneurship, innovation, some careers in accounting, and whatever else we might meander into. I've got, as I usually do, I have my coffee. This time it's a bit of an older school mug because I forgot my new mug at home, but I do have some coffee, and let's just go ahead and pour into it.
All right.
So you're an alum of our graduate diploma in accounting, and you've worked in the military for Deloitte and Kitchener, served as the CFO of Communitech and the interim CEO. Maybe tell us a little bit about what led you down this career path.
Yeah, so I started my undergrad at Carleton University. I did their Bachelor of International Business program because it included a third year abroad studying in a foreign language. So I did that program imagining a career in global trade or diplomacy. I grew up in Ottawa, but I quickly realized I needed more tactical skills when you actually apply to the job market. I was missing sort of that area of focus that would take me beyond that initial career I had dreamed. And that led me to Laurier's diploma in accounting, which you can do post-bachelor's degree. So I took what I had learned at Carleton and applied it at the Big Four, at the diploma of accounting. And then that led me with an introduction to the Big Four accounting firm. Like this, the program had a number of great networking events. I met a number of friends. And before I even graduated from that program, I had a full-time offer with Deloitte to start in their advisory practice here in Kitchener. So it was a great introduction for me and sort of led me down the path of accounting. Otherwise, I don't know where I may have gone back to Ottawa and, you know, retried my hand at global affairs. So super thankful for the opportunity that Laurier provided me. And I think accounting is just one of those interesting paths where it's an entry-level skill that it can take you across a number of industries and fields. And so it's a really great career to get started in if you're not really sure what your long-term career path is. And I'm one of the fortunate few who have bounced around a little bit, but ended up sort of, you know, as a CFO at a great growing tech hub in Kitchener-Waterloo.
Yeah, you hit on a couple of really interesting things. So one of the things that I try to encourage students to do is to consider going abroad for a while, getting that experience and learning, often as part of a program, but even over the summer or whatever it might be. We do have a lot of Ontario-centric students who come from Ontario and end up employed in Ontario. So I think that experience is really important. You've probably had a variety of experiences abroad, but that undergraduate degree at Carleton, I imagine it kind of opened your mind to some new things as an undergraduate student.
It was different. The first 2 years you prepare for your experience, you study in the language that you're going to be immersed in. And then it's a different world to live in a culture, you know, at a different university, studying in a different language and seeing sort of what is important to them, like how politics shapes, how academics shapes. And it just informs you and how you treat others and how you do business. So I would encourage anybody, if they can get an international experience, even if it's short term, to go and have that exposure. And there's also travel opportunities that just naturally come, right? Europe is so interconnected that though I was based in Spain, I was able to travel through France and Italy and Greece and the Netherlands. And I think that that just gives you a wealth of knowledge and makes you a more well-rounded sort of workforce when you're all together and you can bring those experiences and those cultures.
Yeah, absolutely. I think those experiences are really valuable. And then you also mentioned while you're in the graduate diploma in accounting, we often call the GDIP, you got an offer during your time in school, and it's a pretty quick program. So that's a nice way to quickly go from where you were to maybe where you wanted to be.
Yeah, I think I did already have the bachelor's degree too. And like when I was in the GDIP, so I think that naturally opened the doors, but the program itself was structured in a way that you were coming in and going out in a very short term. And so you knew, and they had those career opportunities lined up. It was just up to you to take those opportunities and network with those companies. And I was really fortunate that I connected with Deloitte and I got that offer when I did. And I've enjoyed the career in accounting so much that at first I thought it was just to give me a more well-rounded skill set, right? And then it actually ended up being my profession. So you just never know when that passion is going to spark.
Yeah, and it used to be business schools across Canada had a really high percentage of their students in accounting, and that sort of declined over time to where it's a second or third most popular major in a lot of places, which surprises me because it is such a good foundational set of skills for any kind of career in business. And yet, I think often people do think of just sort of filing tax returns, which is clearly not what the vast majority of accountants do.
Yeah, I think the role of an accountant now is to be a translator between the financials and the strategy. So it's no longer about sitting behind the spreadsheets and filing tax returns and doing these things. It's taking that data, driving insights, and helping to drive your business in a strategic direction. So it's the bridge between the two.
Yeah, and so important. I mean, I find this at universities too, but if you don't understand the financial side of your business, it's really hard to drive the strategy, right? I mean, those two have to go hand in hand.
Yeah, rarely is any key decision made at Communitech without acknowledging the financial implication or the strategic direction or things that we have. Because as a business, right, you need to make sure that your house is in order if you're going to make decisions. And so I think that's true of any business. The finance leader is going to be a key part of any important decision making. And I've enjoyed sort of being in that seat. And I think that being in that position is what entrusted the board to give me the interim CEO position. So it's somebody who knew how to steward the finances, had input into the strategic direction, and could be like a good custodian of the org while they searched for the next leader.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Okay, so not everybody who's listening to the podcast will be familiar with Communitech. It's an iconic organization in the area. When I first arrived in the region of Waterloo, it's one of the first places I heard about. But maybe tell us a little bit more about Communitech and its history and what it's up to today.
Yeah, so Communitech is a not-for-profit innovation hub based in Kitchener-Waterloo. We were founded in 1997, sorry, by a group of founders wanting to support founders and the entrepreneurial sort of spirit that we have here in Waterloo region. And our goal is to help Canadian tech founders start, grow, and succeed. We want to create a strong and robust innovation ecosystem, centered here in Waterloo, but that creates a robust Canadian economy. And we want our companies to be able to compete globally. And so we help them with things like access to talent, panel of advisors, introductions to capital, and programming that can help them accelerate their business on the way along the journey. And we also offer space. And so if there's somebody who is wanting to start a business and network with their peers and go to a place where they can, have free Wi-Fi and coffee, and get introductions to experts and others, they can always come down to the hub, downtown Kitchener, and we're happy to support them in that way as well.
Yeah, and it's a wonderful space. I've been there once. I need to get back there again sometime soon, but
Yeah, and
it's a great
we
space.
recently renovated, so June 18th is our open house. And so if you're
Okay.
available to come down for a tour of the new space, we'd love to have you.
Yeah, I'd love to come see it. That would be great. And I think it's the kind of thing that our students and others in the community should also make sure they get a chance to see because it is a good space for entrepreneurs. There's some good coffee, there's a buzz in the space, and those are the kind of things that can lead to some interesting ideas. And then you mentioned too, serving, and I've mentioned you served as interim CEO. What was that like? That must have been a little bit different in your career path to get kind of thrust into the leadership role. And I know having done like an acting dean role, that can be quite challenging because you're not there permanently, but you have all the responsibility.
Yeah, it was interesting. I had sort of foreshadowed it a little bit in that I acted as sort of a second in command to the previous CEO. So in times of travel or vacation, I stepped in. And so I thought I had a good idea of what the leadership position would entail. But actually, when you're the leader and the buck stops with you, it's a different level of responsibility. All the questions come to you, and it really maxed a different side of my brain. It was more social and strategic and being out in the community. And I missed the comfort of my spreadsheets and my financial decisions. Like, it was much more out of my comfort zone, but it encouraged me to grow in a way that I didn't expect. Like, I made a lot of new friends, I grew my network, and I sort of tried to help position Communitech for the new CEO to come forward and sort of start their strategy. But it was how do I continue the company on this strategic direction but not make too many changes, knowing that new leadership, to your point, was coming in. And so it's a little bit of an awkward phase with an unknown timeline. But we're so thankful that Sheldon McCormick has started as the new CEO, and I'm thrilled to see where Community Tech is going to go under his direction.
Yeah, well, I can kind of relate to that. So my own experience was as a faculty member, I kind of looked at what deans did and thought that seems like a fairly straightforward.
Yeah, I can do this.
Yeah,
Like,
I can do
yeah.
that. It doesn't, you know, and then I was I spent 4 years as a vice dean. So like you said, sort of second in command, often stepping in, often doing what, you know, was a lot of the dean-like responsibilities. And then I got thrust into a lot like you, and this is when I was at the University of Alberta. With just a couple months' notice, into the acting dean role for 2 years, and it was during the pandemic and restructuring and other things. And then I realized, okay, this is a little different. You know, I didn't quite see everything, and being in that role, making those decisions is different. And that, but I think that really did help prepare me to come to Lazaritas and Laurier, because when I arrived here, I had a fairly good idea of what a dean's role would be like. A new school, somewhat different. But I agree with you that it's easy to look from the outside at those leadership roles, even when you're close to them, and not fully understand what the role entails.
It really is the scope, because as when you're in acting, you're getting probably 80%, right? But when you're actually getting 100% and you're making those decisions and you realize that those decisions rest with you, it's a lot harder to do
Yeah.
that. So while I appreciated the experience, it was also thrilled to be now partnering with a new CEO and you know partnering in that vision.
Yeah, and actually, you know, as you think about it, that's great for the new CEO to have a CFO who also has that experience and can help make that adjustment. So yeah,
Yeah.
he's lucky to have you in that role. Okay,
I'll let him know.
yeah, make sure you tell him. So I'll switch gears a little bit and let's just talk about entrepreneurship broadly in Canada. I mean, we're in this kind of crazy time with potential trade wars. We now have a new prime minister. You know, things just seem to be changing fairly rapidly in the business world, and certainly that affects entrepreneurs as well. So what's your take on the current climate and in Waterloo and just really in Canada in general?
Yeah, I know it can seem like an overwhelming time, and sort of the theme of the day is uncertainty. But I would say that it's always important, and it might be trite to say, but not to waste a good crisis. We saw this a lot even in the COVID pandemic, when founders rethought their supply chain and their business model, and doubled down on new products, new markets. You know, like people who were producing widgets produce masks and vaccines, and those people actually can come out stronger coming out of a crisis. So I think although it can be overwhelming, there can be great opportunity, and it's a great opportunity to rethink global supply chains. And so where we were reliant on the US, we can now leverage free trade agreements we have with Europe and Asia and sort of create that redundancy to navigate this uncertainty. It's also a time to build capital resilient models. So look at capital efficiency, creating one way, like conserving costs, and also look for non-dilutive sources of funding. Although venture capital is probably the most popular way to sort of fund and grow your business, you can also bootstrap, look for government grants. And a lot of businesses now can align with the current priorities. We know that climate and AI and infrastructure are big priorities of this new government. So if you have an opportunity to leverage those programs, that might be a good path forward for some of these companies. And I would also say partnering with organizations like Community Tech, or Lazaritas, to build that peer network, talk to one another, talk to people who are going through the same experiences, and look for support and insights is also an important part in sort of getting through crisis like these. Like, you are not alone, and we are here to support you in the face of these challenges.
Yeah, I think that's an easy thing to overlook. So having been involved, you know, in a few startups myself, and also advised some and sat on some boards, I think often what is missing, and I certainly, when I was in my 20s, you know, starting up a company, you know, I had friends and family, but not that broader network. And I think when things are tough, it's really important to have some people to talk to, and especially maybe some more senior people who've seen some of the cycles and can tell you. You know, it's not the end of the world. That, like you said, there's ways to build some resilience. Think about funding that maybe doesn't dilute your equity in the company, and some of the good advice you just gave. So this is not just because I happen to have you on the podcast today, but I really think organizations like Community Tech play a very important role, especially for young founders or founders that are maybe not as experienced, because those conversations are really a gold mine.
I do think so. And it's rare that you are the first person to have that problem, although it feels overwhelming and critical. Docking into an organization like Communitech, it's almost certain we can find someone, if not here, in our network that can help you solve that problem or navigate a way through it. And so I would just encourage people, if they're in times of struggle, reach out to your network, reach out to your friends, and reach out to Communitech, and we can help sort of solidify your path forward.
Yeah, and I mean, we say this a lot, and it's so much easier to say than it is to live through. But failing isn't the end of the world, right? Like things going wrong, having to pivot, maybe going back into a different job for a while and, trying something again. Most entrepreneurs have those kinds of stories. It's really rare that you just jump into something and it becomes a huge success.
Yeah, and I think that's sort of the DNA of Waterloo Region. Like we've seen evolutions of that. We had, Pickstream, which is a great company, and then that sort of was sold, and then out of that became Sandvine and Alvik and different companies. And when BlackBerry sort of changed its path, a new generation of startups came out of that. And so it's just around, it's a very fertile ground that we sort of refill. And so take the risk, start your company, and if you fail, that's okay. You're going to make connections, you're going to learn something, and then you might have greater success the next time you do it.
Yeah, it's one of the things that brought to the region is I agree. I think this area has that kind of community experience that is really helpful for startups where there's lots of opportunity and even examples to look back on. And these world-class companies like a BlackBerry, BlackBerry maybe isn't what it once was when it was selling handsets all over the world, but you can't walk around Waterloo without seeing the impact that the company has had. And when you start to talk to startups, again, whether it's people that came from the company or just ideas that kind of have flown from that narrative around the company, I think it's had a big impact. And there's many others, like you said. So it makes for an exciting entrepreneurial region, I think.
Yeah, and there's just a depth of experience here in Waterloo Region that these new founders have access to. And by connecting with, organizations like Velocity or Lazaritas or Communitech, you can have access to these people and really gain real insights from their experience. So, I mean, I think the value of that can't be underestimated as an ecosystem. What we have here in Waterloo is pretty special.
Yeah, I completely agree. So let's flip a little bit to a few personal or more personal questions. And I'm kind of interested. I mean, you've taken on some challenging roles and challenging times, including the interim CEO role recently. And what kind of inspires you to do these things? And when you look forward to the next couple of years, what excites you? What gets you motivated?
The thing that excites me about being at Communitech is that it's mission driven and that I'm here to support founders and support the Waterloo tech ecosystem. And I think that has driven me all of my life. Like I, as you mentioned early in the introduction, I was a member of the reserve, the armed forces, the Air Force Reserve. I did the Air Cadet program and I joined the reserves. And so I'm really motivated by service to others and by doing good. But I have benefited myself like along the way in terms of my career progression. And I think just that work ethic is what gets me up, knowing I'm going to conquer a challenge. Some of the biggest challenges lately have been navigating the COVID-19 pandemic, certainly around what is our path forward. We were known for being the center of events and networking, and all of a sudden everybody's at home. And so how do we pivot? How do we make the best? And then how do we emerge past pandemic? So I think we're still learning how to do that. And now with a new CEO, it's creating the new vision for Communitech and being part of that journey. I'm also raising a young family, and so this sort of allows me the balance to do both. And so I'm not sort of certain what's next. Certainly for the next few years, it'll be, partnering with Sheldon at Communitech, and then certainly something with community or mission or purpose is what will sort of inspire me when that opportunity, I think, comes along.
Yeah, you certainly have a lot going on. That's no doubt
I
about
do.
that. You're keeping
Busy.
yourself busy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah,
I
so
do.
no, sorry, go ahead.
No, I it is sometimes I wonder what I've gotten myself into. Three children in competitive sports, a full-time job, and my husband's a police officer. So it's like a whole mix of wonderful, wonderful chaos. But it's a sweet
Yeah.
time in my life, and so I'm grateful for it.
That's good. I mean, if you can be grateful in the moment, but I've also always thought of this. I heard early on in my career somebody say, if you want something done, you want to give it to a really busy person because, people who are engaged in a lot of different ways tend to be people who are getting things done. And so, yeah, I think that's wonderful. Good for our community, good for Communitech, and hopefully not too too busy for you.
No, well, thank you. I just came back from vacation, so I'm feeling refreshed and
Great.
ready to go.
So you talked about it a little bit, but maybe talk a little bit more about what's really rewarding in your work, and if someone's thinking about a career in accounting, what should they be thinking about?
I think being a CPA is more about spreadsheets. I think the thing that I love about the CPA profession is that there is a guidebook. There's an actual handbook that if you have a question or a problem, there's a precedent that you can go to and research. But what you can do is then take that and apply it with your own real life experience and be that strategic partner and advisor. You're translating between the finances and the data of your organization into what does this mean and how I move forward. And so I think if you're interested in like that complex problem solving, but you really like rules in a specific subset, it's a great profession to go into, and it opens the doors to so many fields and opportunities, whether you want to work in a hospital or if you want to work in tech or you want to work for a community foundation. Everybody has a finance department and everybody needs that sort of strategic partner. So it's very open in terms of the opportunities it can provide, particularly in Waterloo region where the network is so vast. And I think one of the things that is exciting or that is changing in the CA field is certainly technology. You know, AI is an emerging technology, and I think that accounts are going to have to become proficient in using that technology and then just layering on their insights and their decision making. So it's going to be less about tying out, you know, lead sheets and calculating statements, because we're going to have AI that can do that, but sort of translating into what does this mean for the business for the future. And so I think any future CPAs should be thinking about not only the accounting handbook, but how can I use technology, and how familiar am I and how at ease am I with using that technology? Because I think that's going to be a big part of the profession going forward. We're seeing that, you know, widespread across the tech sector.
Yeah, I think that should be exciting for younger people thinking about a career, that accounting is there'll still be some technical skills that you'll require, but it's not going to be as technical as computers and machines can do more. And it's going to be more about that strategy and more about the human side of it, and taking the data and the numbers and the kind of financial statements and turning those into business plans and strategies and tactics and all the stuff that I would enjoy myself in a business, as much as I enjoy spreadsheets as well. I kind of think it's exciting for young people who get to think more conceptually and creatively, and will have more assistance from just better tools, really, to work with.
When I went into my UFI, I'm a CA, sort of by trade. So when I went into my UFI, I carried two books of the Tax Act and one book of the accounting, and they were tabbed. And so if you had a question, you had to go back, you had to research it. But now that can all be done through AI. And so where your value is in the output, like how are you solving the problem in a creative way using your experience? And I think that's pretty exciting for people that they're going to be able to apply their mindset, and it is a field where technology is going to be accessible. And so for young people who have grown up with technology, it's an exciting time. It's not sort of that old sort of, you know, pocket protector glasses profession, you know, it's sort of on the cutting edge. And so hopefully people find it appealing.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Okay, so one last question. It's kind of a tough one.
Sure.
I always wanted a tough one to answer,
Me
but
too.
what is the biggest, or maybe one of the biggest, lessons that you've learned in your career?
I think especially just coming out of my interim CEO role, that leadership is about trust and clarity. Like whether you're running a team or an organization, you need to communicate openly and you need to stay grounded in your values. I think people, especially in accounting, I would present the data, but I need to now ha know how to communicate it and bring people along on the journey and explain it in a way that people understand and are aligned on the mission. So I've really had to work on my communication, and I think that is just something that I learned through both my travel and my time in the accounting profession. So, communication, leading with clarity, and building resilience in your org in uncertain times are the biggest lessons that I've certainly learned in the past 12 months, and that I'm hoping to carry forward.
Perfect. That's a great place for us to wrap up
Okay.
today. I really appreciate you joining me, and I think a lot of good lessons for students and others coming out of our conversation today.
Thank you, Kyle. Thank you for the time.
Yeah, great. We'll have to do it again soon.
Yes, thank you.